Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and I am here to help achievers, business owners, leaders move forward with their business, their life, their potential. And that is what Avanti means. It means move forward in Italian. So you have learned an Italian word for the day. So today I have on the show a great guest, very excited to talk to Rob Bradley. Rob, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
I am doing very well. How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
All right. So you are an early on guest in my show. So I appreciate you reaching out. And maybe someday when I am the Charlie Rose of entrepreneurs, you'll say, hey, I believed in Dave early on.
Remember when, Dave.
Remember when. It's like buying a stock on the way up, right? That's exactly right. So, Rob, you're a local guy, local Rochester, born and bred business owner. We just in the pre-chat before the show started, we found out that we're actually neighbors.
Yep.
And we didn't know about that. We both live in Victor, really a stone's throw away from each other. Went to McQuaid. You went to McQuaid,
correct, yeah.
And you grew up in Penfield.
That's right.
So like me, you've got Rochester running through your veins, it sounds like.
I sure do.
Yeah. So love to hear a little bit more about who you are and what you do. So if you want to give us the behind the curtain of who Rob is and, how did you get to where you are today and where did it all start?
Well, so my career started in a year, it'll be about 20 years ago, in the investment advisory business. I started with Morgan Stanley, one of the major brokerage firms, and went through a great training program there, training as far as not only intellectual process and learning, but also training of realizing how hard it is to be a successful practitioner. And I would say since then, while I've been able to be as successful as a practitioner, I've also joined with partners to form North Landing Financial Partners is the name of our business. And throughout those 20 years, I would say that my career has really gravitated from being part of a large corporate structure to creating our own. And that really is what we've done today at North Landing Financial Partners.
Great. How did North Landing? What's the name?
What's the name?
Yeah.
So the name conceptually has to do with goal, focus, and achievement. We like to think of that name as being one that should resonate with what we do for clients. So instead of calling it Bradley Wealth Management or, one of those generic names you hear so often in our business, North Landing means that we are seeking to help our clients identify a place of achievable and arrival, if you will, their personal North Landing, and be their financial partner in reaching that destination of peace of mind, success, as they define it for themselves and their families.
Kind of like a North Star, but they've landed.
Fair enough.
You like that? Yeah.
we will work with our marketing consultants.
Right.
A North Star that landed. That's
there
really
you go.
First act. But yeah. So that's the conceptualization behind the name. And all four of the founding partners of the firm, myself, Scott Klatt, Mark Jones, and Bryce Carey, have to mention them as we've all put in a lot of work to get to where we are today. All really bought into philosophically and felt that it represented what we wanted to be as a business.
That's great. That's great. So I know Scott Klatt, great guy.
Yes,
and
he is.
So he must be a wonderful partner to have. He's been in the business probably as long as you have, if not longer.
Mm-hmm.
So great team and with Scott. I'm so curious because, so Rochester, not a huge town. I mean, it's probably the smallest 1 million person town in the world, right? I mean, it's like I just met you for the first time. And
yeah.
Like we found out we're neighbors and I went to Sutherland, you went to McQuaid. We know a lot of the same people.
Yep.
I know your next door neighbor. And so really small town. But for Rochester, and this is just my perception, it seems like there are a lot of companies doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you're in Linden Oaks, and it seems like everywhere I look in Linden Oaks is another financial planning firm.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously surprised and maybe impressed, like, wow, there is that much money in Rochester for, this many financial planners to be able to do business with, right? And so my thought, being a marketing guy at the end of the day, is how do all these financial services firms differentiate themselves? And so I guess my question to you is, knowing what else is out there, how do you strive to be different and unique and have unique competitive advantages, they say?
Yep. Several things, and many of them are critical to how you create competitive advantages. There are certain hard ones, more data-driven advantages as far as fees and cost structure of doing business with a firm like North Landing,
mm-hmm.
that's independently owned, but you know, we leverage strengths of huge institutional partners like Vanguard, mm-hmm. Fidelity, and BlackRock. So there's some of the hard data around competitive advantage, and then there's the process and relationship part of a competitive advantage. You have to have a superior process that allows you to do things and give the type of advice to clients that they're not getting from many advisors that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we feel like, being an independently owned company, we have the ability to focus on client needs first. And a lot of companies will say that, but I think you have to look at the numbers. I'm a numbers mm-hmm. guy. I believe a very good book once says, where your treasure is, your heart is also.
Mm-hmm.
So look at how the numbers flow, and then I'll tell you more about it. And what I mean by that is that when you're working with a firm like ours, as opposed to revenues flowing to a corporate parent, they stay here.
Yeah.
And that means that our only motive is to keep our clients happy, well served, and do so in a really competitive way.
Mm-hmm.
So we could delve into many technical aspects of competitive advantage, but I think that one thing I would summarize with is that because we're locally owned, we have a inherent competitive advantage, because X percentage of our earnings does not go to, and I, you know, I'm not going to blackball anyone, but XYZ large financial company.
Right. All right, cool. So as a business owner and an entrepreneur,
yeah.
When did you say you started the company?
We started North Landing in late 2012, so
okay.
we're coming up on 5 years of full existence.
Great. So just, you know, a lot of the Avanti listeners are either thinking about starting a business
yeah.
or growing a business.
Yeah.
And I love always asking the question, so you and your partners decided that we're going to go on our own
yeah.
and hang the shingle, right? Which is exciting, but also terrifying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I first started my first company back in 95, you know, I'd given my 2 weeks, and the GM said, well, we don't like to have salespeople hang around for 2 weeks because they always cause trouble.
So actually, 2 weeks became 2 minutes.
Exactly. And so here's your box, Dave, and you can go. And they were nice about it, but all of a sudden, you know, the idea of starting a business and then when you actually realize that you're going to do it
yeah.
are very two different things. And it was like the biggest mix of anxiety and excitement I ever had in my life. And I related to like going to Darien Lake, getting on that scary roller coaster. The bar goes down, it starts moving, and
yeah.
you're like, oh my God, I'm on this ride.
Yeah.
Excited and terrified.
Yes.
Is that how you felt?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can start a business unless they're really naive or possibly maybe clueless, not know
yeah.
what they're getting into, and not have that mix of emotions.
Yeah. Rob, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here with Rob Bradley from North Landing Financial Partners. And Rob, we just started talking about, you know, that feeling and emotions that he had when he first started a business with his partners. And we're talking about how, for me and him and many others, it's a great mix. It's like this chemical mix of anxiety and excitement and, oh my God, what have I done? And I'm super psyched. It's, you know, tons of emotions,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
And I could tell that, you know, we talked about your family, that you have kids. And so, you know, so you're sitting here. You probably were making good money where you were working before, doing
yeah.
very well.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden you're like, all right, I am going to go on my own, and I have a family to support. So what were some of the first things that you and your partners did to just really get the flywheel turning?
I think we realized that we had two things, common values and a common level of commitment. That may sound very simple, but without those two things, I think it's impossible to survive.
Right.
Having people around you with that common commitment and with those common values about how to run and grow a business.
Yeah. And then to get customers, I mean, were you able to bring some customers over, or did you guys have to just start picking up the phone? How did that work out?
So we had existing clients and have existing clients that there have been long-term relationships with that were initial clients of North Landing. And, you know, the growth 5 years into it at this point has been very strong. But we started from a position of more than scratch, if you will, because each of us had our own practices before we, if you will, put our chips in, pushed them to the center of the table, and said, we're going to do this together.
So you were able to hit the ground running with some momentum.
Absolutely, yeah. I would say that's for sure.
Cool. What was going through your head, I mean, when you were working for the other company, and what was going through your head, just like, what happened where you just said, you know what, I just need to do this on my own? I mean, was it like this gut feeling that you just couldn't control anymore?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just was like this fire inside that said,
five words. We can do it better.
Nice.
And if you believe in those five words, the ultimate mechanics, the technicalities can work themselves out if you believe and know you can do it better.
Yep.
And ultimately, that's how all new businesses start. They believe they can do it better.
Yeah.
As you know, the numbers, 90% of them find out they're wrong.
Right.
But I think just that what I would call core and irrevocable belief.
Yeah.
When you make a decision, you know there is no going back.
Yeah.
And you know the reason there's no going back is because you're sure you can do it better.
Right. Yeah. That's great. So question to you, this business, I know, like you said, if you know, if someone wants to get in this business, from what I've heard, it can be very difficult the first few years, right? You know, you're just, you're building a book of business. You're up against a lot of competition of other people that already have business or building a book of business.
Sure, and they're established, right?
And they're established.
Yeah, so they have trust and credibility that a new person simply cannot have.
Right, yeah. But from what I understand, like some, you know, young guy, young lady gets into business, works their tail off, you know, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they will always still be working, but the momentum of that first 3 or 4 years, they can be doing very, very well for a long time. Is that correct?
I would agree, but I would agree with one qualification.
Yeah.
Is the only reason that that's true is so few people are able to make it 3 or 4 years.
Right.
The law of numbers tells us that if everyone could make it 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Remaining in the business of being a investment advisor, a certified financial planner, a financial advisor, however you want to put a specific term to it, would not nearly be as profitable if everyone could do it.
Yep.
So that's the double-edged sword.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known some people that did make it through, you know, that we'll say boot camp of the first 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's almost, one guy related it to like a plane getting off the ground, where I think it uses like 70% of its fuel getting off the ground.
Right.
Still using fuel in the air,
but
less. But if you can get off the ground that first 3 or 4 years, you're still servicing clients and getting new clients. But it could be a really great career for those people that are able to master those 3 or 4 years and really really help their clients, obviously, too.
I agree. Yeah, you need to achieve critical mass. So just to give you an example, and this is probably helpful for anyone that's starting a business to get a real sense of. When I started with Morgan Stanley, so great firm, I met great people there. I maintain many friends from my years there to this day. I started in a training class. Young or starting advisors, maybe second career people, went to the South Tower of the World Trade Center to train.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, incredible experience to be there.
Yeah.
And in that class in 1998, there were about 230 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And when I chose by decision to take my clients and move elsewhere about 4 years later, the number of remaining advisors in that class was down in the 30s.
Wow.
So, you know, that was approximately a 3 to 4 year attrition rate, but
yeah.
it was that high. And, you know, I would say that for many people, it's not a 3 or 4 year process to reach critical mass and get mm-hmm. really successful. It can be a 7 to 10 year process because it's not easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can take time. And I would say I'm not the fastest learner or starter.
Mm.
I would say I pride myself in a quote, something along the lines of the race is not always to the swift, but it is to those that always keep running.
Yeah.
So I would be in that always keep running category.
Yeah. You're the tortoise. You finish, you go slow, but strong. You finish the race.
Right. And the tortoise did win, just to be.
It did win.
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will be the tortoise in that case.
Every
and I would
time.
Say, yeah, I would say like a tortoise, I probably have a pretty hard shell too in that
mm-hmm.
because I did a lot of cold calling early in that career.
Yeah.
I may have been said no to, at least over the phone, more times than I would say the vast majority of people that you will talk to.
More times than me trying to get a date in high school?
For sure. Because I know there aren't that many girls in your high school or maybe in all of like Monroe County of your age.
It's probably very close, but I'll give it to you. well, that, you know, I love talking to guys like you because I'm a sales marketing guy at heart. And
okay.
I know that, you know, sales is, you know, they say it's the most lucrative career,
yeah.
But it also is the most, it's, you know, the most poor people too, because it really is determined on what you bring to the table, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember listening to a Brian Tracy cassette years and years ago. And he was talking about how sales is every day you show up and your paycheck is blank. And you just fill it in with the amount of work that you do, right?
Yep.
And so very little work, very little paycheck, a lot of work. And really it goes down to, like you said, just being that consistent, you know, person, that tortoise that every day shows up, doesn't burn out, but, you know, but making those calls and being okay with the fact like, all right, I made 50 calls today. And two people want to talk to me. And instead of being about like bummed out about the 40 people that told you to get lost, you're psyched and pumped about those two people that want to meet with you.
Absolutely, yeah, because
yeah.
you know that if you are always making that number of attempts,
yeah.
there's some ratio of success. It may not be high,
yeah,
but there's some ratio of success for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would say the other thing about being the tortoise is that there's a stubborn personality trait where you stick with something that may mean that you're
mm-hmm.
Dedicated or loyal, but when your clients see that in you,
yeah,
it changes how they view you. They don't see you as a
mm-hmm.
quick start, quick idea, hot investment of the day, month, or quarter
right.
person. They see you as the trusted advisor that they deal with their
yeah.
serious money with.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference over time.
Yeah. Yeah. When they think of Rob, they think of somebody that they're is going to be here in 5-10 years and that they could trust, and you're not going to try to make them the quick day trade. You're in for the long term with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the best pieces of advice I got early in my career was remember that you don't need any single client.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be smart with your own money to make sure that no matter what happens, if any one client says no to you
yeah.
or asks you to do something that you're not comfortable with as far as professional integrity or standards,
yeah.
you need to tell them that they're not going to be able to work with you mm-hmm. anymore.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to afford that. And
right.
I think that type of integrity in business practice
yeah.
that attracts great people that have made great financial decisions that are probably great clients that a mm-hmm. really good advisor would want.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Yeah, well, it's a compound effect of doing things the right way.
Right.
Right.
Right. And I think that, you know, Dave, one thing, because I know a lot of entrepreneurial folks are listening to this,
mm-hmm.
is that can be a downside of being really entrepreneurial, is you have a lot of great ideas. You rotate between those great ideas. You want something to happen quickly, and it doesn't, so you just get more great ideas.
Right.
But what if you picked a good idea. It didn't even have to be your best idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you never, ever quit on that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, if you give me a butter knife, sooner or later I can cut down a tree with it if I just never quit.
Right.
And I think that sometimes entrepreneurs that think fast and see opportunities, they want fast results.
Yeah.
And that's not always what the world delivers. But right. if you stick with something, if you take that butter knife and keep whittling,
mm-hmm.
you can cut down a tree with it. So yeah. it's a matter of that absolute level of persistence. And I think that's why
yeah.
entrepreneurs, if they don't have that trait, they need to surround themselves with the right,
right.
people that have those complementary traits.
Yeah. Rob, that is like probably the best advice you could give an entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs are famous for being a little ADD, a lot ADD, manic. There's a squirrel, right? Let me look over there.
Yeah.
And I've been guilty of this. I mean, and many entrepreneurs is they're very excitable. They have a new idea.
Yep.
Get everybody on board. 2 months later.
What happened to that idea?
They got a new
yeah.
idea,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
and so you're right. It's very crucial to find somebody within your company, and some people call it, the entrepreneur is the visionary. And then the number two is the implementer, meaning that number two is the person that says, hey, Dave, hey, Rob, no, we're not going to do that because we agreed that we're going to see this plan through to
yeah.
fruition, and keeps you on track, so important to do because so many people fail because of the bright, shiny lights, right?
They get distracted. Yeah, they may have great ideas and are not able to see them through to fulfillment or implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's critical that not only are there the right people around you to do that, but also that you remember that and believe.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those five words, we can do it better. If you believe in your idea, and that was our idea, we can do it better. I won't get into the technical details of how we do cross-disciplinary financial planning or how we look at things, because that's boring. Entrepreneurs probably don't want to hear about that.
Mm-hmm. They just want to make money.
Right. That's just easy. Let's just make money. Right. So I think I always look at our business as one where you have to be a competent practitioner first before you can deserve to attract clients.
Right.
If you're not a competent practitioner and you're a great salesman, you're going to disappoint a lot of people that you were such a good salesman, they thought you were also a really good practitioner or technically competent at what your shingle was, whatever that profession is. And and so it's important to keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, good wisdom. And I have to say that probably the best advice I ever heard was, so Warren Buffett, he was asked his secret to success.
Yeah.
And he's been a pretty good financial guy, right? So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's done okay. And so what, Warren, what is your secret to success? And he puts it down to one thing. He says, I say no 99 out of 100 times. And he admits a lot of times he's very tempted to say yes because they're interesting.
Sure.
They're fun. He wants to do them. But he has the discipline and the focus to say, nope. It's not relating to the one core mission, the one core thing that I've agreed to focus on.
Correct.
And so important to have the focus and the discipline to say, this is my one thing that is going to allow me to move ahead with my business. I love it. It's a superpower. I'm a natural with it. I get energy from it. And I get to help people with it. And, geez, if you could just focus on that one thing, if somebody could focus on that one thing, the results will happen, right?
So, I agree.
Yep. I love it. So owning a business, and I ask a lot of my guests this, and it all depends on if you have done this or want to share. Have you ever just, messed up but now you have like a learning experience to share with people, to help people? Have you fallen on your face a little bit? Done something like, that wasn't good for my business, but learn from it and able to share. Anything
I mean, I've had many
mm-hmm.
failures and too many to count.
Right.
So so you're asking for one that could be really informative.
Yep. And actually, Rob, we're going to take a quick break.
All right, let's get back to that.
And we'll start with how you failed forward.
All right.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show, and today we're talking to a great guest, Rob Bradley from North Landing Financial Partners, and learning a lot about his experience, his journey, some wisdom about owning and growing a business. We talked a lot about focus and how in the story of the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise did win the race because although a little bit slower than the hare, he was slow but steady and did the one thing that he knows best how to do over and over again, which is just move forward.
Keep going.
Keep going. Which, once again, that's what Avanti means, right? Move forward. Keep going. So, Rob, you were going to share an experience that, and I call it a failing forward experience.
Sure.
You know, the definition of failure is different for everybody. Yeah. My definition of failure is like, I'm giving up, not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go back and go get a job. For me, that's fair because I love being an entrepreneur. So when I quote unquote fail, I say, you know what? That was a learning lesson.
Absolutely.
How can I learn from it and grow and help others? Right.
Yeah.
So do you have something like that you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. I think the one area of running a business that's most challenging for, and I don't believe it's just for me, I really think it's for everyone, it's human resources.
Mm-hmm.
Picking the right players and people to hire or surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people that run businesses tend to have oftentimes, they've got big hearts. They want to see people do well.
Yeah.
And I think that probably there are a few times in the HR arena that I would say I've fallen in love with someone's potential.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't believe in the potential, or I saw the potential, but that's not what they wanted to do with their futures or careers.
Right. Yep.
So I would say that would be one.
Mm-hmm. Betting on the wrong horse.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, from a business owner perspective, I think when you make a mishire,
mm-hmm.
You spend so much time training that person, because you're a smaller business. You don't have, just go to our corporate training department,
yeah.
Watch 30 videos, and then you'll be trained.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of the training that we do in our firm is direct handstand, eyeball to eyeball. We're together and working with someone. And so mm-hmm. when you invest that much time and ultimately – it wasn't in the person that wanted the same thing you wanted. Your goals for them may not have been fully aligned.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can be really costly.
Yeah.
But again, it's a great learning experience if you learn how to
mm-hmm.
Evaluate and hire better.
Yep.
So we have tried to do some things to make sure that going forward we'll be better there.
Yeah. So in addition to your four partners, you guys hire salespeople as well, hire new advisors, I should say?
We have a position actually open currently mm-hmm. For an associate advisor, which we've been taking, frankly, more time than I would like. I'd like to be able to make a real quick decision, but mm-hmm. by default and our process and the way that the interview and screening process is going, we're turning out into really, I guess, living the old maximum, which is really slow to hire, quick to fire.
Yeah.
So we're really slow to hire. But so we are hiring for an advisor. And we'd like someone not to be an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, we'd like to be someone, we'd like that person to be someone that is going to be a future partner of the firm.
That's great. Yeah. And that's some more great wisdom, too, is hire slow and fire fast. I love that you said that because so many people will do the opposite, right? They'll want to get somebody in, they'll hire them, and then because they are nice, they give them second, third, fourth chances,
yeah.
And slow to fire, when really at the end of the day, it could be best for even both parties to let somebody go, right?
Right, and if you were able to dollarize the opportunity cost of staying with the wrong person too long, it could be the largest financial mistake that
right.
I would say a business between maybe 5 years to 10 years in existence could make.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you have a process, like you have a bona fide process for hiring people.
It's evolving, but mm-hmm. I will share two tools that I think anyone could benefit from. First is called Colby. It's Kolbe.
Mm-hmm.
The Colby is a assessment of someone's natural way of approaching a task.
Mm-hmm.
And so it breaks down, I'm not going to get into the details in the interest of time, but it breaks down everyone's natural strength at approaching a task into four main categories and then rates them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important on a team that you see not only what one person's strength at approaching a problem is,
yeah.
but where does it complement the other people that are either in the office or on the team that maybe will approach it differently. So Colby has been a great tool. Everyone in our office has a Colby profile.
Mm-hmm.
It's posted in a public place on our internal drive, so everyone can see, if they choose to,
mm-hmm.
what everyone's Colby scores are. And then the other one is called top grading. That's very well known
Jeffrey
in the large
Smart, right?
corporate world. Exactly
yeah, yeah.
right. Yeah. yeah. And I believe Jack Welch and GE probably popularized that much more because of their adoption of top grading. But
I read top grading years ago.
Yes.
And it was a thick book back in the day.
Yes.
Now they made kind of like a condensed version.
That was back before social media when people actually would read.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. I went through. I was in this. Organization called EO, which stands for Entrepreneurs Organization.
Okay.
And I went to, they have this program at MIT where you get your, it's not really a master's, but you get your entrepreneurial master's certificate. And a big part of the program was going through and learning more about top grading. They brought the author in live to speak about it. And it is one heck of a process.
It is.
Yeah. Lots of interviews, right?
Lots of interviews, lots of steps. Again, if you're not willing to hire slow and fire fast, you're going to lose patience with top grading.
Yeah.
They do have packages that I believe are very affordable for small businesses. I'm not going to go into a commercial or the details of it, but I believe it's accessible to almost anyone if you're willing to be patient and use a top grading approach. So that's something that if it takes a lot of extra time, prevents a mistake on the front end, you really want to be the guy that spent that time, or the woman that spent that time to make the right call.
Yeah. What are some of the top things you look for when you're hiring somebody?
Well, several things. Communication skills mm-hmm. are critical. So someone once said communication equals wealth.
Mm-hmm.
If you can communicate your ideas and concepts in a way that is genuine, credible and believable
mm-hmm.
and geez, even interesting.
Yeah.
People will listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can transmit those ideas. You can learn to work with other people on those ideas. So communication skills are critical, written and verbal.
Mm-hmm.
We do spend more time talking to clients by email, frankly, than I would like.
Mm-hmm.
I spend a lot of time on my email. I'm not sure how to fix that problem. People keep sending me more emails and I try to be a nice guy, so I want to respond to all of them. And, hey, I want to even give them really good responses, not just, one-liners. Maybe I'll call you later to talk about this. But
I would say
communication is critical. Certainly there's a certain threshold level of intellectual ability and smarts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing, I mean, we've talked about it before, but I want to see someone that has drive in spades.
Mm-hmm.
You probably can't teach that. And
mm-hmm.
for heaven's sake, Dave, I don't know why some people have it and some people don't,
mm-hmm.
But I believe that I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
And I think those things, baseline intelligence, communication skills, and drive.
Yeah.
It's hard to train someone on those things if they don't have those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always joke, and when I had my team, when I had a national magazine was my bigger company back in the day, I always told my team, I'm not that smart. I just work my tail off, and I have a great attitude. And I think, you talk about Jack Welch, he had that grid of how he would retain and or fire people.
Right.
And it was very interesting in a great learning experience for me is if the person had really high skills but a bad attitude, bad culture fit, he would fire them at GE, right? But conversely, if they had kind of, okay skills but a great attitude,
right.
He wouldn't fire them. He would train.
Yeah.
He'd be like, we have the attitude. We have the culture fit. That's the hard thing to get. We can teach the skills, hopefully.
Teach the skills,
if you can't teach the skills, then you got to let the person go. But at least give them a shot and train them, right?
I recently had a chance to say that to someone in an interview who actually asked me a question. Well, do you want to know what I know about Roth IRA conversion analysis or some question like that? And I looked at him and said, I don't care what you know.
Yeah.
I care who you are.
Nice. Good. How do you like that?
I don't know. It just rolled off my tongue when I said it in the interview. But as soon as I said it, I realized that the only reason I said it is just because I really meant it.
Yeah.
And yeah. you can't change the ladder, right? You can't change who you are.
Yeah, I mean, you could teach my 12-year-old daughter about a Roth IRA, right? I mean, but you can't.
That's right.
But you can't teach that guy to have a good attitude, right?
Exactly correct.
Yep.
Exactly correct.
Yeah. So another thing I want to talk to you about here is, you know, so starting a business is very difficult to begin with, let alone having a partner, let alone having, you know, there's four of you guys,
four partners here.
So how, you know, how do you manage that? Because that's a whole nother, I think, probably, you know, purposeful, instigative strategy that you guys must think about. Is
sure.
How do we make sure that four egos and personalities are able to be successful together? How do you guys handle that?
Well, it starts with the first thing you said is that the ego is in check.
Yeah.
So I think that goes back to values, right? I mean, I think we all recognized as partners that we have a certain level of humility.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we don't know, and we know what our limits are. And if you have a certain level of humility, it's just so easy to work with other people. You know, I think it was one of my favorite all-time inspirational speakers. Let me see if I get the quote right. I want to credit the speaker. His name is Dr. Kevin Elko.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sports psychologist who's done a lot of speaking in the financial services business. But I believe he said that humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I don't think, you know, I don't have a low self-esteem, but I consider myself very humble a high self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I think when you have partners that do that or that are oriented that way to work together, you're going to be successful. I mean, Bryce, Scott, and Mark are great people.
Mm.
And so I knew that we weren't going to have some of the ego conflicts that sometimes you can get into. You know, in any business. And
just good, solid people of integrity.
Yeah, and then the other thing structurally, I would say stay in your lanes, right? Do you know what your responsibilities are? So if you're a partner and you're doing X, I'm a partner and I'm doing Y, have we clearly defined what X and Y are?
Yeah.
Is my definition of what X is the same as yours is? Yeah. So are you going to call me out and say, hey, you know, Rob, I thought you were going to do X.
Right.
I'm like, well, I did what I thought was X, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's about, you know, clear expectations.
Yeah.
And you know, what I've called from the beginning, stay in your lanes.
Yeah.
Know what your responsibility is. Hit that responsibility hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if everyone's doing that, you're going to do just fine.
Yeah. So creating clarity around your roles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Clarity as far as the functional responsibilities of running a business, for sure.
Yeah. So, talking to you, I could tell you're very purposeful in how you run the business and the strategies, everything from hiring to partnerships, et cetera. What are some of the favorite books that you've read that have helped you shape some of your philosophies and strategies?
Favorite books that I've read.
Putting you on the spot a little bit.
No, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that I will mention one. I happened to recently review it on audiobook, so it happened to be at the top of my mind. It's a you know, very well known Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah,
that has always helped me stay grounded about my own financial values and intents.
Mm-hmm.
When I look for inspiration. a book by Og Mandino called The Greatest Salesman in the World.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I actually just finished a reread of Greatest Salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And it, just to be clear, I don't consider myself a salesman per se. I'm a professional first and foremost.
Yeah.
And devoting myself to my professional skill at serving clients is really all that matters. If I can do that well, even if I'm a bad salesman or you know, I'm not very good at convincing people, my work will speak for itself over time, right?
Yeah. But
so Greatest Salesman in the World, I've given that to everyone that has started here.
Yeah.
Because I think the values in it they're timeless.
Yeah. The scrolls, right? You read them over and over again, right? Yeah.
That's right, the scrolls. So if you haven't read the book, it's Og Mandino, The Greatest Salesman in the World. Yeah, I'm going to make a little bit of a pitch for this. I love that book that much.
Well, funny you say that. So in 1995, when I first started my first company, a guy named Mike Rockwell, thank you, Mike, and I worked with him. He was on my sales team. He gave me that book as a present to say, I think you should read this book when
sure.
you and it was that's what I started reading when I started my company, and it was amazing, amazing book. There's no doubt about it. In fact, you're inspiring me to reread it.
And it's a really quick read. As a matter of fact, if you turn so Dave and I are in my office. Dave, if you turn around and look right behind my phone,
yeah.
there is a one-page white piece of paper with North Landing Financial yeah. Partners letterhead on it.
Yeah.
And what I did is I just took several of the most powerful lines from that book that yeah. they're printed on that page, and that page sits in front of me every day.
Wow.
And so I think I've read the book maybe four times.
Good for you.
I would say none of the lessons imparted by that book are things that have ever let me down. I would be pretty sure of that.
That's excellent. Yeah. Yeah, Argus the man. There's no doubt about it. So, Rob, we are we're out of time. That went pretty fast.
It's been so fun. Are we out of time?
We are. Well, we're just beginning, but this radio show is out of time. So.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, if anybody wants to get in touch with you to learn more about running a business, learn more about your business, or just connect with you, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
So through our website is fine. It's northlandingfp.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my contact information is fully and it's mm-hmm. it's all right out there.
It's all there. All right, beautiful. Yeah,
so there you have it. The website's excellent. The easiest way.
All right, Rob, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for sharing your secrets of success. And I wish you much continued success as well.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's been fun.
Thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Appreciate it. And if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. And certainly you can learn more about us at davidmamano.com. Thank you so much. And we will be here tomorrow at noon. Take care. Have a great, great day.